throw balls far. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kauf with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Thursday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the last show of the year. This is it. Next time we talk to each other, Jared, on the air, it will be 2022. So, did a little bit of this yesterday. We're going to do more of it today. Reflecting on the year in sports. We were more local, I think, with our thoughts yesterday. Let's expand it out all across the realm of sports.
Oh, look, I took a lot of notes.
Oh, you did?
And it's mixed bag of local.
Okay,
and
that's fine.
So
We'll do reflecting. We'll also be looking ahead. Maybe not New Year's resolutions, but what are you looking forward to in the year of sport, in the sports year next year?
Again, I got both.
Okay, I do too. Yeah, I separated this one out.
Okay.
Oklahoma sends Bob Stoops out a winner like it always should have been, but never was able to be back when he retired the first time. Beat down Oregon in the first half, held on to win in the second. And, of course, coming out of that game, all that anybody's going to talk about all day long is, what about 13? He didn't really give Oklahoma fans the answer that I know everybody was wanting at the end of that game and afterwards in the press conference. I think it's going to be easy to assume he's gone with the way he answered those questions. Don't know if that's the case.
You're a little bit more optimistic than me.
That's not surprising, Jared, because you're kind of a glass half empty type guy in the
first place. Bullcorn. Whatever.
There's a lot going on.
I was very, very excited yesterday for the game.
Yeah, I just didn't know if it was going to happen.
You were on the other end of the fence on that one.
Listen, I didn't know if it was going to happen. But once it started, it was fun all day long. Well, we'll update the Bertha Frank Teague tournament as well. As they play the last day down there in Ada today. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. Talk about any of those things. Whatever else might be on your mind, feel free to chime in. 225-9698. What do you think is going to happen with one Caleb Williams? Is that the last time we see him in the Crimson and Cream? Let us know. 225-9698. Outside the listing area, you can stay in touch with us on KADSAM.com or the Paragon Communications app. If you go the app route, you've got all three radio stations. You've got the Penny News. Brand new edition of the Penny News hit the website yesterday at midnight. And now you can go out and pick up a free copy of the print edition of the Penny News as it's everywhere as we speak. You've got Big Elk TV and Paragon TV coming back in full force next week. You can see Hammond play for the consolation title at the Bertha Frank Teague today, 4:30. Against Frontier. Then also the Skinny on Sports podcast. If you missed the show entirely, you can go back and listen to what we had to say at any point. All right, Jared, how are you this morning?
I'm tired.
I am too. Not often stay up around the midnight hour
on a weekday.
Yeah.
Yeah, usually on the weekend you do. And it's game day, so you know what happens there.
We had a little Christmas last night at my father-in-law's.
Did you watch game there?
We did watch the game.
Cool.
About the first quarter and a half, and then headed her back home. And then I watched the second. Wyatt and I watched the third quarter. And then he went to bed. He's like, "I got to go to bed. I'm tired." I'm like, yeah, I know. I need to, but I'm going to watch the rest just in case something crazy happened. And it might.
What was awesome was, under the old regime, you would have expected the offense to go into a slump there in the second half, and the other team to come back. In this case, the offense had an answer for everything Oregon had.
So. Yeah, that was the only difference, is the offense kept scoring because the defense certainly did their part to let Oregon back in the game.
I was thinking about what do we contribute that to? What do we blame on? Is it youth and experience that came out?
Bad secondary play. Same damn reason OU's defense has sucked for a decade.
Yeah. But why is that? Just
either not recruiting the guy, not right guys, or not coaching them right. One of the two. We'll get to that in a second. Let's hit the Bertha Frank Teague. So yesterday, in semifinal action, boy Tuttle, look out! Defending 4A champs, number one right now in Class 4A. They doubled up Lomega, Class B's defending champion, 82-41. Whew. I mean, I wasn't necessarily thinking LaMega might win that game, and I didn't know it was going to be like that. That's a beatdown. 82-41. So Tuttle's in the finals. They will get Perry. It's Perry topped Weatherford 43-38. Haven't got a chance to go back and look. I know that Jordan Hoffman, one of the two star guards for Weatherford, rolled her ankle in that Hammond win. I don't know if she played yesterday or not, but that would certainly lessen the chances for Weatherford if she wasn't able to be out there, and they lost 43-38. So title game tonight at 8 o'clock is Tuttle and Perry. Third place game at 6:30 is Weatherford and LaMega. Then on the consolation side, the Hammond Lady Warriors, 46-40 winners over Alatta. So they will play for the consolation title in that tournament against Frontier, Class A's number 11. Beat Class 2A number 2, AMPO, 59-49. So it's Hammond and Frontier, 4:30. You can watch it on Paragon TV. And then Latta AMPO is the seventh place game. I know you were able to get some stats from the Lady Warriors game there against Latta.
Man, that freshman, I know I'm really high on her. Henley West was awesome, 19 points, 10 rebounds, had 5 blocks in 32 minutes played. This kid can play. She is a force out there, and we were mentioning it off air after watching the game. She does all the right things, and the officials are allowing her to play the basketball the right way and not bailing out the other players. They know they can't shoot around or over her. Obviously, she's so tall and around her, and she plays such good defense where basically all she has to do is fill up underneath and go straight up, and they try to bump her while they shoot, trying to draw that foul. They weren't allowing it, so that was good, and we'll see if that can continue through the rest of the season for her. But, I mean, she stood out. Addison Walker with 10, Maylee Cheney with 10. It was a nice, solid effort, and it was in doubt going under a minute. I don't know if you saw the last 2 minutes, really. It was still in doubt. Hammond gave Latta a lot of opportunities because it came into that fouling game, putting them on the line, and they think they missed like 3 consecutive front ends, one and ones. But again, Hammond played good down the stretch, and that's a nice, solid. That's probably their best win of the year, I'd say, easily, right?
Yeah, that or Navajo. I mean, winning at Navajo versus
on a neutral
floor, but still, yeah, probably so.
And I was texting a dad who he has a kid on this team, and he said it kind of reminds me of 2017. It's like, yeah, that's kind of what we were talking about yesterday. It's kind of the same run. They lost the opening game, and then they come back the next day, get a nice win, got a chance to bring home some hardware today. And the rest was history. The 2017-18 season, they went on to win the state title. Could it be history repeating itself? I mean, we've got a long ways to go. But they got a team. They got a real good team. Coach Leah Beers put together a real good program there.
And it's still pretty young, too. A bunch of juniors. Yeah. Jolie's senior, but there's a bunch of people. That one's going to be one to be watching for sure over the next few years.
I mean, the LaMega thing kind of coupled with this. I mean, I know the level of competition. I mean, who knows? But it makes you wonder.
Title's for real. I can promise you that. You know, I'm pretty surprised that they doubled them up like that, 82-41. But you just never
know. We don't know the story.
That's right. We didn't watch it.
LaMega could have had some players out.
Or things get going the wrong way. I mean, it happens sometimes, even to really good teams. But, you know, it's interesting because I know Landry Allen down there at Tuttle, she's a junior. And she's similar to Wes as far as build. Tall, skinny, she's going to OU. I mean, she's a dynamic player that not a lot of people have somebody to even try to match up with. And that's the way, you know, some of the easiest jobs are going to be playing around Henley West for everybody else on that Hammond team because she's going to have to draw so much attention.
Yes.
And if you can shoot the basketball, you'll love it. You'll be able to get open three after open three to knock down. So that tournament will wrap up today. Let's talk about last night. Alamo Bowl with Oklahoma defeating Oregon 47-32. It was 30-3 at halftime before Oregon got the offense on track. But OU's, as you said in the opening there, OU's offense continued to score points when they needed to, going up and down. I think at one point they had scored on 8 straight possessions, 6 touchdowns and 2 field goals in that first field goal drive. That touchdown was wiped away when Mario Williams got his helmet ripped off and still scored. But the play, you know, the way that the safety rules are, and for good reason, doesn't happen like that very often where a guy's all the way out in the open like that. But anyhow,
Oklahoma's, they made a good point. It's like, why wouldn't you just rip the helmet off
every time?
Take the penalty every time.
100%. if you can grab it like that. But no, seriously, Oklahoma's offense looked different than it did all year long. It felt like there was a consistency to it. There was a plan to it, and that plan was pound with the run and then throw it over the top. I mean, it makes a lot of sense, especially against an Oregon team that was completely decimated by injury, by COVID, by opt-outs on the defensive side. That it was really not a fair fight, with most of OU's guys that opted out were all defense. So the offense was pretty well intact for everybody that had played all year long versus depleted Oregon offense. But it looked different. There's a lot of things you could say about that. Why, and even Perrion Winfrey there at halftime tweeted out, I wonder what's different. One of the guys that was on the team. But Oklahoma's offense looked great. Williams looked great. Kennedy Brooks is going to be one of the most underrated players to ever play at OU, just because he doesn't do anything flashy. He just does what he's supposed to do, and he's a very good player. I heard the guys on the radio broadcast talking about where he was in the all-time. If he comes back, which if I was him, there's no way I would, because it's a running back, you know what I mean? But if he does come back, he's almost a shoe-in to be the all-time leading rusher at Oklahoma. He's like 800. He was 850 away, and that was before he hit the long run for a touchdown. So he's inside of 800 yards away from being the all-time. That's a lot. That is a mouthful. But the all-time leading rusher at Oklahoma.
That's crazy.
Good job by the offense. The defense was great in the first half. Struggled in the second, but the Sooners do win.
Yeah, it was. I with the way the game started and the very, I don't know, boring play calling offensively. The whole idea was to wear them out early, Oregon, that is. And that's what the game plan was. We pound it, pound it, pound it. Let your big meanies up front wear them out, and then the rest is history. So it was a nice win. And, you know, the story wasn't so much the game, but Bob Stoops back on the sideline. Right. And that was cool to see. I thought it was really cool when his – I'm surprised nobody – you're asking about tequila, but nobody asked him, how's it going to feel coaching your son, you know? But that was cool seeing Drake Stoops get a touchdown and you know, your old man's on the sideline. That's a neat story. So it was cool. It was a nice way to end the season after, you know, the Bedlam loss and, of course, Lincoln Riley leaving. It gives OU fans hope and optimism moving forward. It was a cool moment. Bob giving Brent the visor there on the stage. And now, you know, we'll talk about that as far as looking ahead to a new year, but now OU fans can rest easy and move forward. Now the only thing you got to get nervous about is Caleb Williams.
Yeah, and even that, I mean, I'm not going to try to downplay that a ton, but even I think as soon as Riley left, coming off the Bedlam loss the very next day, I mean, you're not even 12 hours away past, past that loss when all of a sudden it's boom, he's gone. And how much angst there was, and it was amazing how just Stoops, the level of adoration and love and respect that he has gained, I think, from the Oklahoma fan base, puts him up there. I mean, right now, I mean, his stock has never been higher, in my opinion. Even the day after the 2000 national title, I still think it's higher now. Because back then, speaking of angst, you just never were 100% sure he was in forever at OU.
Yeah,
because he had all the chance. I mean, heck,
he's like,
it was,
oh man, he won it too early. Now he's going to go to
Florida,
bigger payday somewhere else.
Yeah, as soon as Spurrier leaves,
yeah,
to go coach Washington, you're thinking, whoop, there he goes.
Yep,
you know that's where he came from. But and so now, not only to continue and coach his entire career here as far as the college game as a head coach, but then for him to step in at that time when everything appeared to be just completely crumbling around him, and just to say, listen, this program is more than one person. Oklahoma is more than me, more than him, more than anybody. And that leads me into the Caleb Williams talk. Now, don't get me wrong. In the very short term, meaning next year, it would be devastating to Oklahoma's chances of being, you know, a Big 12 title type team, maybe even what comes along with that, a lot of, you know, on the fringes of the college football playoff talk, because of winning that conference, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it'd be very hard to imagine that Oklahoma could be anywhere near that conversation with Ralph Rucker or Nick Evers. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Hard to imagine that. And so for next year and then the year after, of course, because, I mean, Caleb would almost have to stay too at that point. Yeah, it'd be a devastation. But I think Stoops is what he said rings true in this situation as well. Oklahoma football is about more than one guy.
Right.
And it's always has been, and it's always going to be. Now, I think it's an interesting – it's almost like you hear what you want to hear or see what you want to see surrounding Caleb Williams and after that game. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, what he said was not what Sooner fans wanted to hear. They wanted to hear him say, that was great, that was fun, I'm going to be back next year, and we're ready to roll. That's not how that went. Not even close. But I think
you want to hear him say we and not I a lot.
Yeah, but he did say we some too.
He said Oklahoma hired a good coach, Oklahoma, and then
and
he said
we
decide.
Well, look at
that,
him
yeah.
Look at him tweet Bob Stoops right now. He's talking about we.
Oh, I haven't even been on Twitter. I just saw headlines.
Yeah, I mean, there's some of both of us. What I'm saying, you know, the situation we were in. Thank you, Coach. The situation we were in means a lot to me and all the guys on the team. That kind of stuff. So, but I think, you know, you can go the route of. Oh, yeah, since he hasn't decided or maybe won't commit to deciding to stay, that means he's gone, which I think that's probably what the majority of the people would think of right now. At the same time, it really seems like he's kind of a thoughtful type guy and a team-first type guy in a lot of aspects. He knows that if he says that, Bob Stoops doesn't get the credit he deserves. The story goes from Bob to him, right?
Right, right.
So if you want to, I think if you want to be a glass half full looking at this, there's that. And then there's also he is a thoughtful guy. And he hasn't had a chance to sit back and really talk to his family and think about it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
With a clear headspace to make sure he's making the right choice. And so I think that you mentioned going on vacation and all that. So that's the glass half full. Now, the fact that he wouldn't commit and he's had all this time to commit – would obviously be the glass half empty look.
Yeah. Another glass half full is if he hadn't hit the portal.
Well, why would he play in that game and risk injury if he's leaving?
That's a great point. Yeah, that's what I'm getting
at. You know?
Yeah. And, you know, and then you saw the downfield, you know, the pass to Mims, the touchdown pass to Mims. And, you know, Mims, it sounds like he is committed. He's coming back. And well, it sounded like it was.
Yeah.
Okay, what have you heard?
Well, what if Caleb Williams leaves?
Okay, but what if Mims stays and that keeps Caleb Williams here?
Well, that's the...
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
My point, it goes back, why would any of those guys play if they're going to leave?
Yeah, that was sort of what Mims said, but he was pretty wishy-washy too, even though he said, I see myself in Crimson and Cream. That's not a, hey, I'm back.
Mm-hmm.
That's a, I think so, but what if Caleb's not here to me? Then I start looking at other options. And that's the thing, because it felt like when Stoops came in and everything got stabilized, then the hiring of Venables, you kind of started having this feeling of, okay, you know, Weiss is out of the portal back. You know, the recruiting class was held together pretty well.
Yeah.
At least for the first signing day. And you kind of had that feeling of, okay, you know, everything you're hearing seems positive about Williams. There is still a chance that the short-term devastation happens. Because if Caleb Williams leaves, then, you know, what about Farouk last night? Nobody even knew who he was. You know, they're childhood buddies. It's hard to believe that Jahlil Farouk stays if Caleb Williams leaves. You know what I'm saying? And
yeah.
Then what does that do to that running back or the wide receiver room? You know, then they were kept on talking about how strong the running backs were going to be next year. They just acted like Kennedy Brooks was for sure back.
Yeah.
Really? I mean, I think that's a 70-30 leaving at best if on the Oklahoma side of it.
Right.
And so there's still, even though it felt like the Sooner fans were out of the woods on this being just a burn down of the roster, it's not out of the woods yet. And 13's choice, I think, is going to make a big difference in what you see. Sure, I mean, in my mind, Oklahoma will bounce back from whatever, but for the, you know, if he leaves now, is it a 2-year turnaround instead of, you know, hey, we're right back on track? Maybe not national title good, but still really rolling down the tracks of trying to be good enough and where you want to be as a program when that move happens to the SEC.
Right. Yeah, it'll be whatever happens. If the worst case scenario happens, it goes back to what Stoops said. It's a program, not about one person.
That's right.
And OU will always bounce back. They got a good coach that's going to recruit well. And he's brought in great coordinators that are going to be very attractive to play for. So the immediate future, yeah, sure. I mean, the next season, it could be a best case scenario 7-win season if all that happens. But they would. It's OU, right? Does anyone really believe that they just go into the tank? It's kind of hard to believe that they'd fall back into
The doldrums of the 90s.
Exactly.
Great questions both on the text line. One, so where would he go? And I had this right underneath on the very next thing I had on my list. Where would he go? Because, a lot of the musical chairs at quarterbacks have kind of settled. And then you've got, Stroud's not going anywhere at Ohio State. Obviously, Bryce Young's not going anywhere at Alabama. Uiagalelei started playing better as they went along at Clemson. So as far as a strong program, I mean, honestly, there's only one, right?
Yeah.
Isn't there?
Yeah.
I mean,
that'd be SC.
Yeah. It really would be. I mean, to me, that USC is the one place that it's a program the caliber of Oklahoma as far as with everything there. There's obviously you've got Lincoln out there. Now, does he have the weapons? But here's the thing, though. Who goes with him? Is Farouk going across? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's the thing. When you first think of it, you go, well, good God, they were 4-8 or 5-7 or whatever it was. One of their best receivers going into the draft. I mean, who does he have? But the thing is, with the portal, he can have everything he had last night right there with him. In the worst case scenario. So that would be the one. I hear people talking about Georgia, really? JT Daniels, Vandegrift is down there too?
Yeah, do you want to go?
Is he really stepping into that situation?
Yeah.
That might make sense, except for the fact that they haven't hired an offensive coordinator yet, would be LSU. Just if you're trying to think of places,
Ole Miss.
They got somebody though, right?
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, Ian, clearly the hire of Lebby is to, I mean, obviously to keep attracting the offensive weapons that OU's accustomed to getting when Riley was here, but also to try to keep Caleb Williams on campus. Go, listen, I'm bringing this guy in. I mean, look at the offense that he ran.
But at the end of the day, the place is obvious, and it's the one that nobody wants to hear about.
Yeah.
It's USC.
It goes back to a character thing for Williams. You mentioned how, he on the surface looks like he's a good kid, and would he do that to OU? Knowing the ramifications is it the best path for me to get to where I want to go?
Sure,
to the NFL.
And then the second thing that was brought up, is he waiting on cash?
Like NIL?
Yes.
Ah.
NIL money. Who's got it?
I've always said that's a thing.
Who's got it for me?
Yeah.
And if that's what's really happening, then it's going to be hard for me to imagine Oklahoma being in the greatest of spots, because he clearly loved Lincoln Riley. He came here. He talked about being willing to walk on to play here, even when Vandegrift was committed to OU before he decommitted and went to Georgia. So he always wanted to play for Lincoln Riley. So now, if you're wanting the NIL deal, is he just wanting Spencer Rattler's deal? Or is he wanting something different? And at that point, when you start throwing that around, plus the relationship with Riley, then that interlocking OU on that helmet and that Sooners across the chest don't mean a damn thing.
Yeah.
They mean nothing at that point, because it's all about something different. And so here's the question. If that's the case, would it be better off in the long run for him to just go somewhere else? You won't have as good a quarterback. There's no doubt about that. But does that start kind of eradicating that, getting those guys out that weren't committed to playing at Oklahoma that were committed to playing for Lincoln Riley? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Start to change that culture, start to change that mindset, even though it clearly diminishes your chances for the next year or even two.
Right. But you want that, right, to get those guys out of the program?
You'd think so until you start talking about a guy that might win a Heisman Trophy as a quarterback. Then it's like, well, maybe we can handle one of those guys. You know what I mean? It's kind of like the Belichick theory. He's got a whole bunch of really good dudes, so yeah, we can probably handle Randy Moss's attitude because he's one of the best receivers ever. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so being the quarterback, it's maybe a little bit different, but it'll be interesting because, you know, everything we've been told and everything we've thought about him has been to stay, right? I mean, all those intangibles and everything, the leadership. I mean, heck, you could see him run down the field when Farouk was punching a guy or pushing a guy in the face.
Yeah.
Stop it. You know, pointing at the scoreboard like, dude, quit. All those things make you lean toward he would be here. But is it all about the Benjamins, baby, and all about the best chance to be the top pick in the draft? And if that is the case, boy, howdy, it's going to hurt OU fans immensely to watch him play for USC.
That'd be the absolute worst-case scenario, right?
Well, 1,000,000%.
Yeah, so
watch him throwing touchdowns in the Trojan uniform to Farouk and Marvin Mims? Yeah, that would be horrible if you're an OU fan,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
But it was a good game last night, but it's funny, though, because nothing about – it was really not about the game. You know what I'm saying? It was all about, can Bob win his last game? And then where is Caleb Williams going? Even throughout the whole night, it was like, one, where has this been?
That's...
where has this been?
And it's an attitude thing.
Totally.
Totally attitude.
That offensive line got shoved around all year long, and now they're not being sissies, and they dominated that game.
Yeah.
Rehashing the game last night, and then what the fallout will be. What do you think? Probably by the end of next week or so, this ought to be, because I mean, at some point school's going to start again, right?
Yeah, you're going to.
So
we're
going to have to go to class. Going to have to get enrolled. Talking about Caleb Williams and his decision. So I would imagine,
and others.
Yeah, I'd imagine by the end of next week.
Yeah, you're going to hear about it. I mean, you'll start hearing usually after bowl game. I'm surprised we haven't heard anything yet, but you'll start hearing about it maybe today. Like, not Caleb Williams, but certain players saying, oh, I'm declaring or I'm transferring or whatever. You'll start seeing that pop up on your phone and on your social media feeds. But the one that matters, the big domino, is Caleb Williams, whether he stays or goes. And I think you're right. We'll hear it before school starts. You have to.
Sometime by next weekend or in that range.
Yeah.
I would think this would probably be put to bed and then, you know, whether or not to cry on your pillow or get excited about 2022. Yeah, the one guy I did see, which is totally expected, was Jeremiah Hall. He's declaring for the draft, which, I think everybody pretty well knew that was happening.
He's given enough to OU for what he's done. You know, he's just a great representation of that program. And, that doesn't surprise me. You know, we're talking about the game going into the break about how it just looked different. And attitude is a big reason why, you know, because of the situation that was presented to those guys. You know, they could play with a little bit of a – they were given a giant chip on their shoulder. Our coach left. Other guys left. You know, let's go out there and show we're still OU. A big part of that attitude, I think, you know, obviously is Bob Stoops. With, I think, game preparation, I was hearing in the pregame them talking Gabe and Teddy and others talking about how the players were more involved in game preparation, more so than ever. Coaches talking with players going, well, what works best for you? What could we do here? What could we do in this situation? Stuff like that. That excites the players. You know, the one thing about Bob Stoops that always stood out to me, and I know other coaches do it, and I don't know if Lincoln did it as much, pre-game stretching. What's he do? Goes around and he high-fives everybody.
Yeah, you know? I saw him doing that.
He does that all the time.
No, I'm talking about Lincoln.
Lincoln. But Bob, just something how – that's how you get an attitude switch. Like, this guy's coming up, he's talking to me, he's asking me how I'm doing. Makes me want to play for him. You know what I mean? And he just instilled that attitude. It started since that Monday press conference up through that game last night. And you just hope, and I think that's why Brent Venables is a good hire, because he comes from that coaching tree of Bob Stoops, and you think he's going to just – you would hope that he models that attitude moving forward with the program.
I don't think there's any doubt.
My point is, you know, OU could come in, you know, deflated or after a loss or, you know, as underdogs, and you got a guy like Brent Venables say, listen, no one believes in you, but I believe in you. And they come out and they play like they did last night. I mean, where was that offensive line all year? It just boggles my mind. And I know Oregon was Oregon was gutted.
A lot of that is that. I mean,
that's absolutely true. when Sewell went out, that was, I mean, oh, you could have a heyday run the football, and they did.
Yeah, that was a lot of last night. I mean, listen, Oklahoma looked worse against worse teams than they did
Tulane
against that one last night.
Yeah, exactly. So,
but
yeah,
there was a difference in the way that that offensive line blocked, and I don't know if they were. You know, you didn't see a ton of the GT pool play. It was a little bit more of, you know, kind of
line
blocking
up and go right at
them.
Yeah,
and maybe that's, you know, certain lines.
You know, didn't see a lot of trickery other than this direct snap to Hall.
Yeah, the reverse to Williams.
There was that.
Not as much as I thought, honestly.
It was more like, we're just going to go right at these guys. We're going to wear them out. And
well,
we're
yeah,
score.
I mean,
that's
it was kind of playing their second team.
Yeah.
That's what you should have done.
Yeah.
It was pretty funny because right there at the first, I think it was was it 6-3 or maybe it was, I don't remember when, but it was 4th-and-2 from just inside the 50. And I thought to myself, you can tell this isn't really Bob's team because he's going for it. It doesn't have been really his team. I'm afraid the punter would have made a trek out to the field. And anyway,
Highlight of the game, biggest play of the game for me was OU recovering the onside kick, and I waited for about 10 minutes after they recovered to make sure they actually recovered it. Are they really going to give it to them this time?
Maybe even a little justice.
You hear the murmurs in the crowd. You could hear the murmurs.
Maybe even a little bit of justice when Stoops fumbled, maybe got back on it, maybe didn't, and they decided to give the ball to OU.
Yeah.
Maybe that's closure that everybody was seeking. let's reflect. We did a little bit of this yesterday on the year in sports. It was more local yesterday, I think, for the most part, on both of our lists. And so then I got to thinking about other things outside of what happened here locally. And so I don't know if it's top five. I wrote down five things, but
oh man, I went crazy.
Just the incredible. You're running out of words to say it. Of Tom Brady. Winning his seventh Super Bowl at the age of 43.
Yeah, that's on my list. Yeah.
And now, you know, looking like we might have to be sitting in here a year from now talking about him winning his eighth Super Bowl at age 44 and still looking strong. You know, but that was, I think that one, it's been so long ago, and now you're kind of getting geared up for this year's playoffs. You kind of forget, holy crap, that dude won his seventh Super Bowl at 43 years old this year.
That's on my list. Him winning the Super Bowl and winning over a team like the Chiefs,
right.
And just wherever he goes,
holding on to the torch. Everybody wanted him to pass it.
Yeah,
with Mahomes
that
winning.
Was the story going in. Yeah. Like, is this the?
And he held on to it.
He held
said,
on.
Nope, like, no, not yet, buddy.
I'm gonna hold on to that. I was sitting down now with more time to think about it. I thought, you know, it was odd that last year we had. To at OU, both their basketball coaches retire in the same in the same year, and I thought that was odd, but you know, send off to some good coaches that did good things, and it appears that they got. Now it's early, but it appears that they got some two good coaches to follow them, for both. I mean, men and women, they're both playing really good basketball again, very early, and league play hasn't even started yet. I think it will Saturday. For the men, at least. But so that looks like the basketball programs will be okay. Then OSU, you know, they produced the number one pick in the draft in Cunningham. And then the same year they get the shaft from the NCAA.
Oh, my gosh,
I mean,
it's still going.
It's a big story there.
Still going with NC State not having to miss the tournament.
Yeah.
That's one of the craziest, most ridiculous things about the NCAA.
I mean, who did OSU piss off?
That's exactly – I mean –
What is going on?
Or they might say, what's OU doing to get us in trouble? another thing I have, this is more on the negative side of things, that maybe turns positive next year. Tiger Woods crash.
Yeah.
I mean, that, I don't know if ever, I don't know if we all realize how close we were to losing him. You know, on the heel, on the heels, and not very long before that with Kobe Bryant. You know, and the helicopter crash there that took his life, and then you had Tiger. That was a huge story that maybe even still gets bigger as we move along here. I have that coupled with, and then Phil Mickelson, the oldest to win a major, the age of 50.
Yeah.
Just inconceivable that could happen.
It was the year of the old man.
Man, it's just an unreal performance that he put on there. As much as I hate to sit here and talk about that, it was maybe the highlight of the year in sports. It's hard to think of something that was more dramatic, more outside of me and a few others, more well-received, like the fan favorite wins again at the age of 50.
It told me I got more time. I got time to...
You're not done yet, Jared. You still win the PGA.
I got time. Speaking of PGA, we'll get there as far as looking forward. Reflecting, though, what else on my list? I would mention Tom Brady. I think we are currently, right now, this is on a state level, we're in the middle of the greatest high school football runs in the history of high school football, and that's Bixby. What they're doing right now.
Yeah.
Now, could it turn into one of the best in the country? What was the school out of California?
It's Mater Dei, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, we have a movie about that. I wish Wyatt was here. He could tell you all about it.
Could we be seeing – are we? I mean, you don't know history when you're living in the middle of it, right?
Right.
But are we in the middle of it? I mean, it feels like we are. I mean, this is – I know it's not just this year, but years past, and I guess it's something to look forward to too. But keep an eye on Bixby. Are they going to be that dominant for the next foreseeable future?
It almost makes you wish that 6A would have never split.
Yeah.
To see exactly where they end up with the Jinxons and the Unions. I know they got a Wausau on their schedule next year. So we'll see, you know,
yeah.
As far as heard Mark talking about this exact same thing the other day, and how long the streak can go. What is it, 50? No, next win would be 50. It's 49 right now.
Is that 49 right now?
Yes. I've got, a week that was so exciting, and it didn't materialize all the way to what we were hoping to at the time. But you remember back... June, when we had the NCAA men's golf tournament and the Women's College World Series at the same time?
Yeah.
And we were all hoping that we end up with Bedlam for titles. And it was very real possibilities at the time.
Right.
That Oklahoma and Oklahoma State could play the three-game series on the softball field, and then also the match play final would be OU and OSU. It didn't materialize all the way to that. The Cowgirls golf team was runner-up. The Sooner men were runner-up. And then we didn't get the Bedlam final like we were all hoping. But, man, the excitement and the possibilities, I'd forgotten about it. And then when I started kind of, thinking, what was some of the stuff we talked about? I remember that week, the excitement of the possibilities of that were so, endless what could happen. That was a fun time right through there, thinking, oh my gosh, Bedlam for two titles in the same, maybe on the same day. How great would that be?
Still could happen. That's something to look forward to. I mean, they're still good. Still
right.
Could happen for all those scenarios you mentioned right there. Wrapping up the reflection, local state champs, help me here if I miss any. Obviously, we mentioned Hydro boys and girls winning basketball last season. I forgot about the Clinton boys winning the soccer state title. Over Woodward.
Oh, yeah.
In the spring.
Was that, man, I probably thought that was 2020.
No,
it was 21.
It was 21, yeah. It was last spring. Of course, Clinton football. Of course, you mentioned Hill winning the individual.
Trace. Laverne.
Laverne. Am I missing any? I was putting this list together quickly. I'm sure there was some. Did we have any tennis champs or track?
Oh, yeah. Sanger.
Okay.
Carter. Or Evan. One of the twins. They won number two singles.
Awesome.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yes.
Okay. I don't want to leave anybody out, and I apologize if I did, but those are the ones I can remember off the top of my head.
I think it was Carter, but it could have been Evan.
Okay.
Pat's obviously not listening, right? I already know.
But, I mean, there's a good year there, and while we're on the high school talk, reflecting on the week-long state tournament, all in the big house, small school, at that what I would dub as historic, because I don't know if we'll ever see that again. You know what I mean? Because of the circumstances that we were in at the time, kudos to the OSSA to figure that out, to allow that to happen. I don't know if we'll, so I wrote it down as a historic small school basketball state tournament. Not so much for the results, but for the circumstances.
Yeah, and then, you know, that Saturday, the results were purple. All
yeah,
of it.
All purple.
All and you know who's the happiest guy about that? The dude that brings up the stat sheets, because there was nobody on the floor, so he could just run right up to us. It took him a quarter of the time to get all that passed out and back than it would have just trying to get to us.
Maybe get that kid or that guy a runner. Just get him a kid. Just say, here you go. Just start running. Go.
Last thing I've got is reflect. I mean, it has to be the football. It's got to be Riley leaving Oklahoma State with a historically good defense, mm-hmm. and the run that they made, and the way that that season has ended for OU and will end on Saturday for Oklahoma State. Just, you know, it almost ends up to me being the season of unfulfilled possibilities. Starting the season with OU, ending the season with OSU, and what could have been. You know what I mean?
Right.
Just at both schools. OSU actually performed like they were supposed to, or, well, maybe even above what we thought they would be, but didn't quite get it done in Oklahoma, never met the possibilities, which I think a little bit of that's what is irritating a little bit about last night, as you saw.
What could have been.
Especially offensively, what could have been. So
yeah.
Really, really good years. Disappointing for Oklahoma with preseason expectations, there's no doubt. But when you finish off the way you finished off, but then Oklahoma State out, you know, overachieving their expectations in the preseason, but then once they got there, couldn't quite finish it off and make it the best season in OSU football history, right, with the possibilities that were out there. Looking ahead to next year. All right, Jared, what is a couple of things, or what are you looking forward to going into the year
looking
next year?
Looking forward to, well, I mentioned the high school basketball state tournament. I'm looking forward to go back to the traditional three-day state tournament. I've brought that to the show before. That's a lot of travel for me. I like the 3 days in a row, back to a normal state tournament, stands back where they need to be, fans back where they need to be. I'm looking forward to that. Hopefully we get it. OU, OSU, I'm looking forward to see what Coach Venables can do in his first year and how Gundy and OSU respond after a stellar 2021 campaign. That's a couple right there that I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, add state tournament week and what it looks like. Does the OSSA try to figure out a way to make it A and B always in there in the big house?
Yeah.
How is that going to work? Locally, I'm curious to see, after two straight years now in the finals, is Clinton back to just going to the state title game every year in football? Is that what we're doing?
They got their guy,
you know,
coach.
With Coach Lee. Yeah. It felt like you can almost pencil them into the finals and – was there somebody along the way that might trip them up or what? You know, just are they back? And then can the Elks, what can they do to continue what was built this year? Nationally, there's one thing that's way above everything else for me. One thing. Will and how much and where will we see Tiger Woods?
Yeah.
After the PNC, the father-son deal, now you're thinking, I mean, he was so far out of sight, out of mind after that wreck that you almost had resigned to the fact that, okay, he's not, you know, he may not play tournament golf ever again. Then you see him out there. Granted, he was driving in the cart or whatever. But, I mean, you mentioned Tulsa. Are we going to get to see him in Tulsa at the PGA in May?
Well, speaking of which, that's on my list. I'm looking forward to the PGA Championship.
Sure.
In Tulsa.
We're both going to be there. I mean, it never crossed my mind. Back when all the tickets from last summer, when you're trying to get the tickets and all that stuff, and everybody was doing it, it never crossed my mind that we might actually see Tiger Woods there.
Kind of occurred to me after seeing him play with the Sun.
And then all of a sudden, my first thought is, ooh, Masters? Can he walk that golf course?
I don't know.
Anyway, that's number one on my list.
Yeah.
Just to see what he's going to do, how much he's going to be able to play. It looks like if he's able to play, playing decent to pretty good.
He's just going to get healthier.
You would think so, but you just don't know.
I don't know the severity. How severe was that injury?
He almost lost his leg.
Yeah, so is there going to be a constant
Well, and
pain
and,
or limp or
well, yeah, that's just his legs. Then you got to think about how does that affect his back that's fused together,
which is already the thing. Yeah.
Anyway, well, I'm intrigued to see that. I mean, the question on top of mine right now is who's going to be the quarterback at OU?
Yeah.
When we roll around to the fall, who's going to be the quarterback? That leads me to other ones. Is this the last year of the Big 12 as we know it?
It's on mine too.
With Oklahoma and Texas, and then. Does the playoff expand? I think we'll know that here pretty quick.
Do you? Okay.
On the playoff stuff, because they're having another meeting here in the middle of January.
Awesome. Do you have any – we're running short on time. Do you have any resolutions, like sports resolutions, New Year's resolutions you're going to try to keep this year?
Yes.
What is that?
Don't complain about a certain group of high school football referees. When we see him next fall.
It's a good one. That's a good one.
I started out on the right foot this year in the semifinals.
You did. I didn't even notice who they were until you said something.
I did.
It's like in the third or fourth quarter you said
something. It was after the game.
After the yeah. I didn't even notice it. That's what a good ref is, right? You don't notice it. You noticed it.
I noticed right off the bat, and I was thinking, oh, my God, we got more people watching this than ever before. I cannot get irritated.
Good. I promise, or I'm going to try – not to embarrass my wife the next time we host an OU football watch party.
This is why you're not supposed to make resolutions, because a lot of times you make them.
And then you then, break them.
Well, and they're impossible to keep.
Yeah. I'm going to try my darndest to not embarrass her this next time around.
Here's a good one on the text line. Saying goodbye to Zeke in Dallas. I am ready for that myself.
Yeah.
Ah, and another one. Looking forward to – this person's looking forward to winning the KECO next year.
Ooh. It's a bold
statement. Maybe we should be looking forward to Tony Romo actually showing up this year.
That would be awesome.
To our golf tournament.
That'd be awesome. Speaking of Dallas, I can't wait for NFL playoffs. Is Dallas for real? How deep are they going to go? And I wonder where the Super Bowl watch party is going to be if Dallas is in it.
I have a pretty good chance. I have a pretty good idea where it might be. Which would be just fine with me, pretty close to my house.
For the first time in a very long time, if we have a baseball season, I'm actually looking forward to Texas Rangers baseball.
Yeah, that's one I thought about writing down about just will baseball happen. But I'm almost so pessimistic about that it's not even worth right now because I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah.
How about this one? Where do the Thunder draft? And that leading to how much longer is this process going to last?
Yeah.
Yeah, across from Skinny's house, huge Super Bowl party. I knew that's where that was going to be.
Final thing, personally for me, I'm looking forward to watching my kid play basketball. Last year, only got to do it a couple of times because they weren't allowing fans and all this stuff. This year, I mean, we got a schedule. Looks like it's a full go. After watching one scrimmage, I'm very excited about that. And I'm excited to watch her final season of Coach Pitch. Because then next fall, we'll get into actual kid pitch.
Yeah, and if it's anything like the baseball has been for Wyatt, have fun this summer. Because this is going to be the last summer for a little bit where the games are actually fun to watch. And it's not just like a merry-go-round of walking around the bases.
With the way this team that we have coming into the spring, the way they finish fall as league champs, they're, you know, they go into the spring, summer season, they have a real good opportunity to get back to that state tournament and maybe making some noise. They got a lot of good kids on that team. I'm just looking forward to that. Personally, as a dad, just looking forward to that. And I'm sure a lot of parents are the same way.
Oh, yeah, me too. The Little Eagles. It's time for the Little Eagles. This is their good year or their older year.
Guys, yeah.
The old peewees, as it were. So that's normally I wonder where the state tournament is.
I know where – my kids would be same place as last year. It seems like
Preston.
It's always in Preston.
Boy.
Be nice if – I mean, listen, I was a little pessimistic about – or not very high. I was thinking, Preston. But after going, they run a good tournament. Are the facilities the greatest? Not really. But they run a really good tournament. I was pleasantly surprised. But you never know. It might be closer. Might be here. Never know.
Let's say last year the Pee Wees was at Salisaw, so hopefully it's back either Weatherford or Clinton.
Yeah.
I mean, that's asking it to be here is not a possibility. I don't think so. we'll just settle for Weatherford or Clinton and move on and just thank our lucky stars are not going to Salisaw.
Hope it doesn't rain, though. That's something we didn't talk about.
For good reason, Jared. For good reason. Everybody have a wonderful New Year's. Stay safe. Thanks for listening. We will be back next year right here on the Skinny on Sports.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.